Hey, Wowzer fans, Mindy here, and before we start the show, I've got some bad news to share. And by bad news, I mean good news. Allow me to explain. You see, Guy Raz, the Pop-Ups, and I are about to hit the road with our all-new Wow in the World pop-up party titled The Laboratory of Bad Ideas. Tickets are just about sold out in San Francisco and Seattle, so act fast if you haven't gotten yours yet. Los Angeles, Wowzers! The party is coming to you on November 17th. Now, VIP tickets are already sold out, but, and this is a big but, we are giving away passes to the post-show meet and greet every week until November 1st. So grown-ups, go ahead and get tickets for your family and then visit our Wow in the World Facebook page for more on how your family can win VIP upgrades to the LA pop-up. All you have to do is enter our Bad Ideas sweepstakes. Once again, more information is available on our Wow in the World Facebook page. Got it, grown-ups? All right, and for tickets and more info on any of our upcoming shows, just visit tinkercast.com/events. That's it. We can't wait to see you out in the world this fall.
Like a juicy red tomato right off the vine.
Incoming!
Time machine? What in the...
Oh, no!
Hey, Guy Raz. Thought I'd find you in your greenhouse today. Whoa, look at those tiny little tomatoes you grew. They look like little clowns.
You almost crushed my entire greenhouse with that giant hunk of junk. Well, what gives?
Oh, well, I thought I smelled some fresh tomatoes over here. And
they are prize-winning tomatoes. Would you like to try one? Fresh off the vine is the best way to taste a tomato.
Oh, no thanks, Guy Raz. I am so super full. I just got back from the year 1910 and...
1910?
Oh, yeah. I was having lunch with my old friend Marie Curie, and we were just having the best little chit-chat about radioactive elements.
You mean the Marie Curie, the only person in history to have won the Nobel Prize for Physics and for Chemistry?
Yep, good old Marie. You should see the way she lights up when she talks about radiation.
Wow, that must have been a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, but, oh, man, it is so hot in here. Is it just me or is it the Pepper X pie I ate for dessert? Whew.
Well, I guess my greenhouse might be a little warm for us, but it's perfect for my tomatoes, Mindy.
I don't know. They look pretty red to me. Maybe they've got sunburn.
Well, this time of year, the sunlight isn't strong enough to make the air outside warm. But when the sun comes through the glass in my greenhouse, it heats up the plants and the soil, which is why it's warm in here.
The soil? Wait a minute. The dirt is warm, too? Let me just see. Ooh, nice.
Yeah, who knew warm dirt could feel so good, right?
Yeah, do you mind if I just...
Mindy, what are you...
I'm just gonna plant myself right here and...
Mindy, are you burying yourself in my dirt?
It's fine, Guy Raz. I'm absorbing my nitrogen, my potassium, my magnesium, my iron.
Ugh, Mindy, you're in dirt.
I mean, why take vitamins when you could just suck them up through the dirt?
Well, I suppose you want me to water you, too, or maybe give you some plant food. I even have some grade-A cow manure if you want that, too.
What? No way, Guy Raz. That would be ridiculous. I'm already full grown.
Oh, right.
But it is warm and toasty in here. only there was a way we could trap all of this heat in.
Well, the glass sides of the greenhouse keep the heat from getting out as well.
Hang on a second. Let me just get out of this dirt here. Walk over to the window. Are these glass?
Yes, and please don't knock so hard. You're gonna break. You're gonna break it.
Sorry.
Anyway, like I was saying, Mindy, these glass windows double as the walls of the greenhouse, and they keep the plants warm without having to use any extra energy.
Oh, so you mean like all the extra energy you would have to use if you had, say, electric heat lamps or a furnace or something to keep things warm?
Exactly.
And so the way this greenhouse works is actually pretty good for the environment.
Right, because even though I have a greenhouse, I'm not creating any greenhouse gases.
Oh, I could fill your greenhouse with gases, Guy Raz. Excuse me.
Mindy, that's not what I meant by greenhouse gases.
Don't worry about it, Guy Raz. The plants will clear the air.
Okay, we'll get back to greenhouse gases in just a minute. But first, I have to tell you about this incredible scientific study I was just reading about.
Oh, you know I love a good scientific study, Guy Raz. But first, can we get out of here? It's so crazy hot, even my sweat is starting to sweat.
Well, if you think it's warm in here right now, Mindy, just you wait until the end of the century.
Wait until the end of the century? That's the year 2100. I don't have that kind of time to wait.
I know you've got a busy schedule, Mindy, but I think you need to hear me out. This is important.
Okay, well, if this is going to take a while, you mind if I get back in the dirt?
Well,
Dig. Cover.
Mindy, can you please stop planting yourself in my flower beds?
Well, if you don't want me to lay down in them and cover myself up with the dirt, then stop calling them flower beds.
What?
Huh?
Well, okay, fine. That's a fair point.
So back to this scientific study you were about to tell me about.
Oh, right. Well, these researchers from the University of Southampton in the United Kingdom have just discovered that by the year 2100, the average temperature on planet Earth might be...
What?
Drumroll, please. As hot as...
What?
As hot as it was...
As hot as it was what?
As hot as it was 50 million years ago. Mindy, did you just hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard you, Guy Raz. You said that by the year 2100, the Earth might be as hot as it was 50 million years ago.
Yes, that's exactly what I said. Isn't that wild?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that depends on how hot it was 50 million years ago.
Oh right. That is a good point. Well, 50 million years ago, the Earth was about 86 degrees Fahrenheit on average.
On average. Average, so meaning that it was hotter on some days and colder on others?
That's right. And for comparison, in July of 2017, the Earth's average temperature was 62 degrees Fahrenheit.
Whoa, and July is one of the hottest months of the year in some places.
That's right. And while 86 degrees Fahrenheit might not sound too scorching hot, well, 50 million years ago, it was hot enough that crocodiles were swimming in the Arctic, and there were palm trees in Alaska.
What? That's hotter than a Carolina Reaper mixed with a ghost pepper, mixed with a Pepper X, mixed with a peppermint.
Yeah. I get it.
But you said that the year 2100 might be as hot. So why isn't it for sure?
Well, it all comes back to those greenhouse gases we were talking about before you filled my greenhouse with your other kind of gases.
I said excuse me!
Well, that's true. You did. But there's no excuse for the amount of greenhouse gases being put into Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah, I know all about greenhouse gases. They're created when we drive our cars and heat our houses and every time a cow toots. Oh, cow, say excuse me! That's good enough. Sorry, Guy Raz. Where were we?
Gases like carbon dioxide are released into the atmosphere. And over time, they heat up the Earth.
Oh, and these gases do that by forming a see-through wall around the Earth, kind of like the glass walls in your greenhouse here.
Yes, and just like with my greenhouse, the sun shines through those gases onto the Earth and heats us up.
And just like your greenhouse here, the heat gets locked in.
That's right. All those greenhouse gases act like those glass panels in my greenhouse, keeping all of the heat close to the Earth.
Wow, you really gave that metaphor a workout.
And in fact, Mindy, the greenhouse gases are turning our Earth into a real greenhouse. And if we don't take care of this, things could really start to warm up over the next 80 years.
Ugh, so we need to do something about it before it's too late.
That's right.
I'm on it.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Why butterflies aren't made with real butter?
That's not what I was thinking.
Me neither. I was thinking that it's time to get myself out of this dirt bed and back into the time machine. Guy Raz, it's time for us to go back 50 million years ago.
That's a great idea, Mindy, because if the temperature of the Earth 50 million years ago is similar to what it will be like in the future, well, then we kind of need to experience it.
The key to the future is in the past, Guy Raz.
Huh. That's a very wise thing to say, Mindy.
No, literally, the key that makes a time machine go to the future is lost in the past. See, I accidentally left it in the Eocene epoch the last time we were there. Remember when we went to visit those tiny little horse ancestors of ours?
Oh, of course, I remember, but you can't go leaving the time machine keys 50 million years in the past.
Don't worry, Guy Raz, I didn't lose the key to the past, so we can still go back in time and find the key to the future.
Phew. Okay, well, I guess, let's go.
Sounds good. Time machine's parked right outside. So come on, we're gonna be late.
Late? Considering we're already 50 million years late, I think it's gonna be okay.
Get on in here. Scoot over. Come on, scoot over. Scoot over.
Okay, so.
Yes.
Present day.
Hmm?
Minus.
50 million years.
50 million years.
Yeah.
Looks like that'll take us back to the late Eocene epoch.
Yes.
No pit stops,
what?
No bathroom breaks.
What? No bathroom.
There.
No bathroom breaks? Guy Raz, you're going to be sorry about the... Woo! Oh, made it. Man, all right, let me just open the hatch here. Whoa! Whoa! Man, forgot how crazy hot it is back then, or back now, 50 million years ago.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, it's really hot here. It's as hot as the hottest days back in our neighborhood 50 million years in the future. And judging by our coordinates here, we're probably somewhere around Iowa in North America.
Iowa? Man, feels pretty hot for Iowa this time of year.
Yeah.
But don't worry, Guy Raz. I brought along some brand new ice helmets that I invented just for an occasion like this. Let me just open my adventure toolbox. Ah, why are there snakes in here? Get out of here, snakes. All right. Oops, here they are. Still icy cold. Here, try this baby on for size.
I hope I don't get a brain freeze.
Guy Raz, we've been through this. Brain freeze comes from eating or drinking cold stuff too fast. You can't get it from wearing an ice helmet.
I know, I was just trying to...
make a joke!
Oh, forget it. Anyway, let me see your mirror. I want to make sure I've got this thing on straight.
Oh, yeah, here you go. Looks good, right?
Not bad, but it is a little wet and heavy, but it's definitely cooling me off under these hot temperatures.
Okay, before we do anything else, we need to find the time machine key to the future, okay?
I cannot believe you lost it.
Now, I'm pretty sure we were in this field when we saw the mini horse ancestor. Huh, this has got to be the same area where I lost it.
This field goes on for miles, Mindy. I mean, we could be walking all day. But by the way, what does the key look like?
Well, the key just looks like a key, but the keychain is one of those 3-foot-long candy canes.
How did you not notice a 3-foot-long candy cane dropped out of your pocket?
I don't know. I think I must have lost it when I was looking for my magnifying goggles.
Oh, hey, look over there, Mindy. I think I see a group of ancient horse ancestors from the genus Hyracotherium.
Genus. I got it. Genus. Genus is the group of species that they're part of.
You sound like a genus genius, Mindy.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that one,
Mindy,
I'd be in debt.
What?
Hey, do these look like the same ones we saw the last time we were here?
I think that's them, yes.
Oh, they're so cute, these little doggy-sized pocket horses. Okay, Ross, can we keep one? Wait, it looks like they're snacking on something.
Yeah, this is a great chance to find out just what these animals are eating. Yeah, look, come on, let's walk over.
Oh, my turtle and a taco shell, are they eating the key?
Yeah, they're all licking the candy cane keychain, Mindy. They're about to eat our keys to the future.
Stay calm, Guy Raz. I'll handle this.
Well, howdy there, little critters. I'm sorry to say this, but, we're gonna need this here key you're fixing to eat.
Why are you talking like a cowboy, Mindy?
Well, because I'm talking to some horses here, partner. Yep, that's it. Spit it out. Put it right there. Mm-hmm. All right, yee-haw, little horse doggies. Now run away.
Wow, that worked, and they even left your key.
Well, thank you kindly, partner.
Okay, Mindy, you can speak normally now.
Yeah, that was exhausting.
Well, this heat is exhausting me, even with the ice helmet on.
Oh, yeah. So about that, I had a thought.
Yes?
How did ancient Earth get so hot? I mean, I'm looking around and there aren't any humans yet. I don't see any of these animals driving cars or heating houses or building things.
That is an excellent question, Mindy, because I know that there was naturally more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere millions of years ago, but I'm not really sure why, so maybe we should consult an expert.
An expert? Reggie!
Reggie?
Yeah, he's taking a college class in environmental science.
Wow, between Taekwondo and selling shoes at Foot Locker, Reggie never ceases to amaze me. I guess no one should call him a bird brain.
Why not? Birds have amazing brains. Okay, I'm going to give him a call. Hey, Reg? Yeah, it's Mindy. Yeah, Guy Raz is here, too. What? Yeah, I think we should be back in time for dinner. Wait. Yeah, except for the fact that we are 50 million years in the past, and it's really hot here. The reason we're calling is because we need your environmental expertise. Okay, so what we want to know is how the Earth got so hot 50 million years ago if there were no humans around to do all that stuff that junks it up, putting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Oh. Huh. Well, thanks, Reg. See you in 50 million years.
So, what'd he say?
Okay, so Reggie says the reason there used to be so much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is because of natural causes, natural events like volcanoes.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I know that there used to be a lot more volcanoes when the Earth was first formed. And I bet those volcanoes release carbon dioxide when they erupt.
You got it. Must be a real bird brain too, Guy Raz.
Thanks.
And Reggie also said that our Earth cooled down from natural causes as well.
Natural causes, huh? Well, what were they?
So apparently, over millions and millions of years, giant rocks on Earth naturally started to break down into tiny pieces.
Go on.
And those tiny pieces of rock became dirt.
Like the dirt in my garden.
Yep. And so this dirt started to suck up or absorb a lot of the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Okay.
And that process started to remove the carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and as a result, the Earth cooled down.
Of course. Now it's starting to make sense. So more dirt means more plants could grow. And plants breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen.
You got it, Guy Raz. So all of these different natural things happening are why the Earth has heated up and cooled down so many times over millions and millions of years. And I read that our sun in the present day is hotter than it was millions of years ago.
Well, here we are millions of years ago, and it feels pretty hot to me. Whew.
The air is hot because of the extra carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. But the sun itself is kind of like a light bulb.
How so?
Well, you know how a light bulb is cool when you first turn it on?
Yes.
But if you try to hug it after it's been on for a couple of hours, it'll burn you?
I take it you learned that the hard way.
The sun gets hotter and hotter over time, too, even if we can't really feel it heating up.
And so that's another thing speeding up the Earth's rising temperatures.
Yep. But what I want to know is if the dirt and the plants absorbed the carbon dioxide and cooled down the Earth a long time ago, then why can't the Earth just do that again?
Well, because right now, Mindy, it's just getting too hot too fast. And the Earth's cool-down process and warm-up process are like two turtles in a race.
Ooh, I love a good turtle race. So how does it work?
Well, when nature is in charge, the cooling turtle and the warming turtle sometimes pass each other, but eventually they end up evening out the score at the finish line.
But now with greenhouse gases, it's like we put the global warming turtle on a rocket-powered skateboard or something.
Exactly. So we're going to have to speed up that cooling turtle or slow down the warming turtle so they can even out again.
And we can help do this by doing things like walking or riding a bike instead of driving a car, or maybe just stop wasting so much stuff and creating a bunch of garbage and trash.
That's right. And by switching out our light bulbs for energy-efficient LED light bulbs.
Take that, warming turtle! So what else can we do?
Well, you might be surprised, but one of the best things we can do is to compost our food waste.
Oh, yeah, composting. That beautiful process of worms eating our old food and pooping it out into warm, lovely dirt.
Indeed.
But how does it help the Earth?
Well, the average American family produces 20 pounds of food waste every month.
Wow, must be a lot of work to deal with all that.
It is, and garbage trucks have to burn fossil fuels to take that garbage to landfills. And in some cities, it's a 500-mile drive.
That must make so many greenhouse gases.
It sure does. And even worse, when that food sits in the landfill and decomposes or breaks down, it produces methane, which is another very super strong greenhouse gas.
Not to mention a very stinky gas.
And that's why it's our responsibility as humans to help slow down the warming turtle or find a way to speed up the cooling turtle and make sure the Earth is a good place for all living things.
Oh, just think of Reggie's great-great-great-great-great-great-grand-pigeons. We could help make the future of this planet better for them, too.
Hey, I just got an idea. Why don't we go back to our own time and get started?
Good idea, Guy Raz. We gotta get back to the time machine. Let me just...
All right, now, time to saddle up, partner.
Mindy, I thought you weren't gonna talk like a cowboy anymore.
I'm not. Talking like a cowgirl.
No, I...
Here we...
That was a tough landing. You okay, Mindy?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, let's get back inside the greenhouse.
Actually, Guy Raz, I think I'm going to meet up with you later. Now that I've got my time machine key to the future, I've got a quick errand to run.
Okay, but please be careful in the future and bring your ice helmet just in case.
See you soon.
Well, I guess I'd better go back to the greenhouse and start harvesting my kale. What?
Hey, come
in! Is she back already?
Greetings, Guy Raz. I'm back from the year 2100.
The year 2100? What was it like?
I met an old man. and an old woman who were really famous.
Okay.
And they were famous because they had worked together to invent a new way to create energy to use for almost everything. From our lights, to our cars, to our waffle makers, to our electric skateboards for cats.
The future has cat skateboards?
Whoops. Shh. I didn't mean to give that one away.
Cat skateboards.
Anywho, this little team and their friends created a new way for us to make energy. A kind of energy that didn't add any more carbon dioxide to the atmosphere.
Wow. Our climate change heroes are really out there, Mindy.
Yep. They sure are, Guy Raz, and they may not even know it yet.
Wow in the World will be right back. Grown-ups, this message is for you.
Support for this podcast and the following message for parents come from Random House Children's Books and Listening Library, publisher of Dr. Seuss's Horse Museum. This never-before-published Dr. Seuss book is like a visit to a museum with a horse as your guide, and special cameo appearances from the Cat in the Hat and Horton the Elephant. Young readers will be reminded that there is no wrong or right way to look at or think about art. Pick up a copy or download the Samira Wiley narrated audiobook today. Support also comes from Pinna. Pinna is the only audio streaming service that combines original podcasts, music, audiobooks, and more, expertly curated for kids 3 to 12. Engage your kids during car time, bedtime, or after school with entertaining and educational audio content, from comedy to mystery, plus everything in between, all ad-free and screen-free. Visit pinna.fm to start your free 30-day trial today.
That's it! Back to the show!
Wow in the World!
Hi, thanks for calling Wow in the World. After the beep, get ready to record.
Hi, my name is Annika.
My name is Clara.
Our Wow in the World is about
pandas.
Did you know that pandas eat 20 to 40 pounds of bamboo every single day?
Yeah, burritos.
Hi, Aunt Mojo.
Oh, hi now.
See you at the pop-up party.
Hello, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name is Mateo, and I live in Houston, Texas. My wow in the world is that dolphins sleep with one eye open. Also, to add Thomas Fingerling,
what?
Grandma G-Force,
Buongiorno.
And Reggie, don't think I've forgotten you, buddy.
My name is Elias, and I live in Round Rock, Texas. My wow is, if you didn't fart, your intestines would explode.
Hi, Mindy and Guy Raz. My name is Bree, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Did you know there's a such thing as a pink grasshopper? Well, there is. Though most grasshoppers are green or brown, some are much brighter. Pink grasshoppers are rare. Most likely because they are easy for predators to spot.
Hi, I'm Kate, and I live in Truckee, California. My wow in the world is that the reason Mexican jumping beans jump around is because their tiny moth larvae living inside of them.
I'm Indian Guy Raz. My name is Isaiah. I live in South Carolina. My wow in the world is that 2.3 billion people play video games. Love yourself. Bye.
Hi, my name is Farah, and I live in Monrovia, Maryland, and my wow in the world is that Americans spend nearly $800 million each year on peanut butter.
Hi, I'm Mika. I'm from Seattle, Washington, and my wow in the world is that there used to be pink lakes in Australia. Bye. I love your show.
Hi, my name is Peyton. I live in Granger, Texas, and my wow in the world is that some fruits, like peanuts and walnuts, are actually fruits. And by the way, Reggie, what does that mean?
Oh.
Bye, Mindy and Guy Raz, and Reggie, I love your show.
End of messages.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this week on Wow in the World.
And to keep the wow rolling, check out this week's scientific conversation starters at our website, wowintheworld.com.
And grown-ups, there you can find more info on how your kids can become members of the World Organization of Wowzers, shop our Wow Shop, upload photos and videos to us, and check dates for our upcoming live events. That's wowintheworld.com.
Our show is produced by Jed Anderson,
who provides the bells, whistles, and silly characters. Say hello, Jed.
Hello.
Our show is written by me, Guy Raz, and Thomas Van Kalken, who also provides silly characters. Tom?
Hello there.
Thanks also to Jessica Bodie, Casey Kofer, Rebecca Caban, Kit Ballinger, and Alex Curley. Meredith Halpern-Ranzer powers the WOW at Tinkercast.
Our theme song was composed and performed by The Pop-Ups. For more info on their two-time Grammy-nominated all-ages music, find them at thepopups.com.
And grown-ups, you can follow WOW in the World on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at WOW in the World. And our email address is hello@wowintheworld.com.
And if you're a kid with a big WOW to share with us, call us at 1-888-7-WOW-WOW for a chance to be featured at the end of the show.
Also, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to WOW in the World on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, leave us a few stars, a review, or just tell a friend about the show.
Thanks again for listening, and until next time,
keep on wowing. Jinx!
Was made by Tinkercast and sent to you by NPR.
How do you take a single idea and turn it into a billion-dollar empire, even against all odds? I'm Guy Raz, and every Monday on NPR's How I Built This, I speak with the innovators behind the world's most influential brands. Listen and subscribe right now.